Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
And God has put a very specific message on my heart today. And we're going to have kind of like a family talk. Can we talk about some things? Yes, I said some things. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about some things. And we're going to continue along with what we've been speaking about the last 2 weeks. If you haven't been here for the past 2 weeks, what we've been talking about is the road to spiritual maturity. And one of God's desires for us, once we give our lives to the Lord and we come into the knowledge of who He is that we continue growing. How many feel like you would love to grow just a little bit more in 2019? Amen. And all successful people, one of the things that they have in common is that they're not satisfied with where they're at right now, and they have a heart to keep learning and growing. Amen. And so we're going to talk about a few different things, but we're going to talk about one of the things that you're going to need to address if you're going to grow towards spiritual maturity. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the Bible says, when I was a child, someone say, when I was a child, I talked like a child. Say it with me. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, see, I lost half of you already. Some of you are already mad at me. It's all right. Work with me this morning. I always say that when I'm preaching, if you like what I'm saying, say
glory.
Say it with me. If you like what I'm saying, say
glory.
If you don't like what I'm saying, don't get mad at me, because I'm preaching the Bible. Just say, God help me. Say it with me. It's okay to talk to the preacher this morning. Amen. So I'll just read it. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Lord, would you please allow me to communicate this word with clarity, with conviction, and with boldness. I ask that this morning you would sever our hearts and that you would speak directly to us. Teach us the ways of spiritual maturity, and teach us, Father, to think as you think and to see things the way you see things. We don't want to settle for what the world says is okay. We don't want to become products of our environment. But at the end of the day, we're not doing this for anyone else, but we're doing this for you. Father, I love you. I need you this morning. Be with us. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So this morning, like I mentioned, we're going to talk about what we have to do to become spiritually mature. And over the past 2 weeks, I've been speaking about spiritual maturity and how one of God's desires for us as believers is to continue growing. And last week we learned that 2 weeks ago I talked about the suffering of Christ, and that not everything that you go through is a result of something bad, but sometimes God will allow us to go through hardship so that we can draw close to Him. And then last week we learned that the Apostle Paul, one of his main priorities in building churches was so that he can help believers, the Bible says, become perfect. He says that he dedicated all of his energy so that he can make every believer presented to God to be perfect. Now, what does that mean? Does God want us to be perfect? Absolutely not. But when we studied that word perfect, we found that that word was translated as mature. So the Apostle Paul put a great emphasis on his life on helping people become mature spiritually. And that's why churches exist, right? That's why this church exists. If you look at our mission statement locally, we want to reach the unchurched. If you ask me who's my target, anybody that doesn't go to church, that's who we want to reach. And that's all walks of life. Right? This morning, if you look around the room, we have people from all walks of life, right? We are all sinners saved by grace, right? The second thing we want to do is we want to help people develop a closer relationship with God. And that fits into helping people become more mature, because the closer you get to God, the more that you learn to read your Bible and pray, as we're going to be doing on Wednesdays, right, Brother Kenny? We're going to be meeting here to pray every Wednesday. That's a way that we can help you develop a closer relationship with God. Because my heart's desire as a pastor is that when you go through it, you don't necessarily need to call me to get an answer or ask for advice. I'm not saying that I want you to be prideful and act like you don't need the pastor, or you don't need Brother Kenny or one of the leaders, but what I'm saying is you should have enough power, enough oomph, someone say oomph, so enough authority within your life that when you're going through it, you can speak to your situation and understand that because of who your daddy is, no matter who's messing with you, are you hearing me this morning? That's my heart's desire, is that we grow maturely, and then thirdly, we want to spread the gospel. So tonight we're going to talk about what does it take to become spiritually mature, because spiritual maturity is not an event, it's a process, right? You don't just like give your life to the Lord and then one day from the next we're like brand new people, right? From one day to the next I no longer want to do bad. From one day to the next I don't want to pop off and yell at somebody. Are you hearing me? Right? Right? It just doesn't happen, but it's a process. And what you have to understand is that after salvation, right, after salvation, every believer begins a process of spiritual growth with the intent of becoming spiritually mature. There are some of you that you've been coming now for some time, and some of the things that used to not bother you now bother you, right? Or some of you have been coming for some time, and some of the things you used to do, right, were okay. Now you're like, man, should I be doing this? Somebody wave at me, right? So we all enter into a process of spiritual maturity. And one of the things that we have to learn if we're going to be spiritually mature, and this is where I kind of want to get into our message, if you're going to grow and become spiritually mature, one of the things that we need to learn to do, we need to learn to confront, combat, and fight off our sinful nature. We got to learn to fight our sinful nature. In order to do this, we'll have to learn some things about the sinful nature, right? Now, I want to explain what the sinful nature is. In the book of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul describes a basic frustration that lives inside every believer. In every believer, you go through this. We've all gone through this. And listen to what he says. Here, the Apostle Paul speaks of his frustration. Listen to what he says. Romans 7:15, he says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Somebody work with me if you've ever been there. Now he goes, instead I do what I hate, but if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with that the law is good. He goes on to say, so I am not one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. All I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. Now wave at me if you felt that frustration. Where I want to do good. God, I know you're real. God, you've done some good things in my life. And I want to be the best person that I can. But man, I keep messing up. This is what we call the war that rages within. Here the Apostle Paul describes a divide between his will and his actions. For he wills to do what is right, but his actions continually do what is wrong. Now, have you ever wanted to do something right and just kept messing up, right? We've all struggled with that. And what I want you to understand is this. There is no perfect Christian. We all got issues. And if you don't have issues right now, they say that you're either going into a trial or you're coming out of a trial, right? And God will allow us to go through things to deal with who we are. But in everything, what you have to understand is this. Basically, there's a sinful nature inside of us. We were born into a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world full of sin. Isn't it funny that no one teaches our kids to sin? Right? No one teaches them how to sin. But over time, because of the influences of the world, naturally sin comes out of them. And it's our job as their parents to teach them the ways that are right. And there's a lot of parallels between raising a child and walking with the Lord. Right, I'm currently, we yesterday, thank you all, you know, for those of you that sent wishes, baby Gianna, we had her birthday party yesterday, and one of the things that we're teaching my daughter right now as she's growing up, you know, she likes her bottle. But we're slowly taking the bottle away from her and teaching her to drink from a sippy cup. Right? And if you've ever raised a child, you know that over time, you know, you put them in diapers, but at some point, you got to go cold turkey, take off the diaper, and teach them that you can't be going to the bathroom on yourself. You're a big boy now. You're a big girl now, and you got to go to the bathroom. Right? We go through a similar process as believers. When we come to the Lord, we might be infants spiritually, but over time, listen, when our kids are babies and they do things that we know is wrong at the beginning, it's kind of cute. Right? Right? Kids do things sometimes that's cute, right? They'll say bad words. Oh, what are you doing? Who taught him that? Right? Right? And you may have laughed the first time, or you may have been furious. I don't know. But over time, if those babies grow up and they're still doing things, if they're still wearing a diaper when they're 7 years old, how many know we got a problem? And how many know spiritually God wants us to keep advancing? Right? We might be spiritual babies right now. And some of the things we did when we first walked into the church might have been cute. But over time, there comes a point where you will now be held accountable for becoming mature. See, God loves and accepts you for who you are. But he loves you too much to keep you the same. As you get closer to God, God will then begin to deal with your sinful nature. You have a sinful nature, I have a sinful nature. And what you have to understand is that there is a sinful nature that is constantly at war with your spirit, right? Because if you accepted Jesus in your heart, the more that you read the Bible, the more that you pray, you now develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And now there is the Spirit of God that is in you that is constantly fighting with the sinful nature that is also within you. Now the Bible teaches us that we have a sinful nature. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature." Now this morning, I feel led to talk about sin because sin is not a topic that you hear people preaching about enough. If we're not careful, church, we will become products of our environment. And things that God truly doesn't approve of, if we don't learn to live according to the Bible, we will accept as common behavior in our houses and, God forbid, at our churches. Are you hearing me this morning? We're living in a time where people, they truly live in a divide. On one hand, they want to serve God, but on the other hand, there's this struggle to hold on to some of the pleasures and their desires and things that make us feel good. Galatians 5:17 says this, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary." Some translations say are at war with one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So the very reason that maybe sometimes you don't do what you want to do is because there's this sinful nature within you that is overpowering your spirit, man. Are you following me this morning? This is why, listen to me, if we don't learn to check the sins within our lives, we're all sinners. But there's this thing called iniquity that we've read in the Bible. Who's ever read that word, iniquity? Well, the word iniquity is not a word that we use today in common language. But if you read the Bible speaks a lot about iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity is a form of bondage that is created due to habitual sin. So although we all have sins and we all slip up, we all get angry, we all maybe do stuff, but there's sometimes these certain sins that we do habitually that God wants to deal with. Now those things are called iniquity, and iniquity will hold you bound and keep you in place and from advancing. Right? This is why we have some powerless Christians. They believe God. They come every Sunday. They come every Wednesday, but there's no power in their life. Why? Because they're bad people? No. Maybe, just maybe, there's some sinful things that they haven't dealt with.
Are you hearing me this morning?
Now, if we want to be effective, if we want to be victorious, how many people want to be victorious? And again, don't worry, this isn't a gloom and doom message. I'm not here to speak gloom and doom because there's hope at the end. I'm a sinner and I'm tore up too. Come on, somebody. I got issues just like everybody else. But true spiritual maturity is learning to deal with our sinful nature, because there are truly things that God may not approve of if we bring before his throne. If we truly bring some things in our life, if this was an altar that symbolized God's throne, and if you really came and you truly asked the question, God, would you reveal to me the things in my life that you don't approve of, we would be astonished at what God would tell us. Now, this is what I want to do. If we want to be effective as Christians, if we want to be effective and victorious, what we have to understand that, number one, sin is not a single act. Sin happens over time. Right? There are stages to when we think about something bad and we actually do something bad. Now, the word sin is defined as actions by which humans rebel against God, miss his purpose for their life, and surrender to the power of evil rather than to God. That's the definition of sin. Okay? James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Right? So anytime we knowingly do the opposite of what God wants, we commit sin. Right? Now, sin is not a single act. And I want to give you the process of sin so that you can learn to combat it before you actually commit sin. In James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, there is a specific process that sin takes on before it gives birth to its full-blown nature. Now, let me read this to you. Follow along. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God will test you and allow you to go through things, but God will never tempt you. Are you hearing me? So it goes on to say, but each one, now this is where we get into the process of sin. Each one is tempted when by his own, it says, each one is tempted by when his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. So here we see a five-step process. I'm not going to go very long, so you got to kind of tune in with me. You can listen to the message after. But the first step to sin, number one, there is always a temptation. Someone say temptation. Now, temptation in the Bible, or a biblical sense of temptation, is a situation when one experiences and challenges to choose between being faithful to God and unfaithful to God according to what you know. Right? So we know God is good. We know that God has certain things for our lives. But when we are tempted, listen, God will allow us to go through the temptation, right? But God doesn't tempt us, right? So here we have temptation, right? Now, because of our sinful nature, we'll always be tempted to do what is opposite of God. And this goes back to the war that we talked about when he says, though I want to do what's right, I don't, right? Sometimes I have found that people like flirting with temptation, right? There's some people, they're like, well, I'm doing this with God, but let me go see what they're doing. Listen, I'll just say this. Some of you, because of the lifestyle you live, you have no business being in certain situations. Like if you were an alcoholic, you ain't gonna go to no bar. I would advise you don't even sit in the bar. Right? Now, to some, that's not an issue. But to some, that's a problem. Right? There are some that they may have had lustful problems and pornography problems. Are you hearing me? There's some real stuff that people deal with. There's some real anger issues. There's some real murderous thoughts that people deal with within their heart and in their mind because of what they've been through their past. Now, what we got to be careful is that we don't flirt with temptation, because temptation will eventually hold you captive and pull you in deeper than you're willing to swim. That's why the Bible says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Are you hearing me? Sometimes the thrill of temptation feels good, but if you flirt with temptation, listen to me, it'll take you into stage two. Stage two, so the first stage is when we're tempted. The second stage, according to the Bible, it says, by when our own evil desires, right? Now that word desire is very key because when you translate it in the Greek, it's a word called craving, longing, to lust. It's a desire for what is forbidden. Now this word is found in this scripture is referring to a gratification of satisfaction, right? So when we give in to the things that satisfy us that God doesn't approve of, we're going down the wrong path. Let me say this. No man, it doesn't matter how holy, how great they are, no man is immune to temptation. Sin, given the right circumstance, at the right moment, driven by the right bit of curiosity, will cause any man to fall if we give in to our desires and our sinful nature. So here you have step one, there's a temptation. Step two, we're now giving in to our sinful desires. Number three, the third stage of sin, the Bible tells us that now that we've been tempted, now that we've given in to our desires, we are now dragged away and enticed. Let me give you a picture of this. This is a heavy picture. Sin always starts with temptation. And our temptation fuels our desires. And if we feed our desires, eventually we'll be dragged away by those sins. And this is why we have to be very careful what we feed our mind and our imaginations. Right? You got to be careful what you watch on TV. You got to be careful with certain music that you listen to. Right? Now, I'm not saying that it's a sin to listen to worldly music and you can go to hell. I'm not saying that. But listen, you know your background. Some of us got to be very careful with what we feed our minds because it might trigger a thought towards something that we like. It might cause us to remember something we used to like to dabble in. And here we are. There was the war. On one hand, I want to do what is right. But on the other hand, man, this sounds pretty good right about now. I'd about had it up to here with trying to be good. Somebody work with me. But you got to be careful because that word dragged away, it depicts the idea of being carried away by a captor and being caught into a trap. Sin usually starts in your mind with a thought. And if you entertain those thoughts long enough, eventually you'll be enticed by them. Now that word enticed means this, to attract and tempt by offering pleasure. It also means to bait a hook. Sin will offer you pleasure in an attempt to hook you. Are you hearing me? Both the hunter and the fisherman use bait to capture its prey. No animal would deliberately step into a trap or snap at a hook if it understood the nature of the trap. No one said that the mouse that died on the mouse trap didn't enjoy the cheese for even just 1 second. So I joke around, and I don't know how you're going to take this, just... But I always tell people, like, I'm the type of guy that if, like, I messed up, God would, like, expose me immediately. Some of you are like, what is he saying? Some of you too, come on. Some of you, God is like, no, not you. Not you. No, not you. You got to walk a straight line. God, don't even go near the sidewalk. Don't even go over there because you're going to mess up. You stay right here. These are your boundaries. See, some of us need parameters. Some of us need boundaries. Loose living, do whatever we want, say what we want, pop off out the mouth. I don't care what anybody says, but that's contrary if we're trying to bring glory to God. Everything we say, everything we do is an image of who He is in the minds of everyone that we talk to. Therefore, it's in my best interest if I want to bring Him fame, if I want to bring Him glory, I should probably watch the things that I say, the things that I do, and the actions that I allow my life to show to the world. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So see this natural progression? First, we have a temptation. Second, we are enticed by our own evil desires. When we've given enough attention to our desires, we're dragged away. And then fourthly, the Bible says, then we commit the act of sin. Let me read the scripture again. James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, someone say then. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So what I'm trying to say is that sin doesn't just happen. Sin is birthed over time, right? And the problem with sin is this. Sin is fun. Somebody work with me. Sin is fun, right? It's fun. But it ain't healthy. I tell my kid, like my son, every morning, Elijah, he got smart. I tell him, Daddy, can I have popsicle? It's 7 in the morning. He wants a popsicle, right? I said, no, baby, you got to eat breakfast. So now what he does, he comes up to me. He goes, Daddy, I already ate breakfast. Can I have a popsicle? 8:30, right? I try to tell him, you can't eat that first thing in the morning, right? And then sometimes when I give him a popsicle, even in the afternoon, if you ever come, those of you that are close to us, you know that sometimes if you're watching TV with me or you're watching football with me, right, sometimes I'll look like I'll be looking for the remote and I'll look into the cushions and I'll pull out one popsicle stick from within the couch. I pull out another popsicle stick. I kid you not, that one time I moved the furniture and I found 7 popsicle sticks. And what was interesting is that I bought the popsicles yesterday. And later on that night, Daddy, my stomach hurts. That's your fault. Are you hearing me? So he knows now. So what am I trying to say? Too much of anything is not good for you. You got to be careful of the things that you let in. See, when sin is fully grown, it gives birth. The Bible says it doesn't just give birth to an act. It gives birth to a slow process of death. This is why you have some people that one day were here serving God, faithful and hungry, and then the next minute they're no longer here. Well, what happened? Right? What happened? Chances are there was some sort of sin that separated them from the Lord, right? You got to be careful because we'll justify anything, man. We'll justify, well, he has to remain our priority. I don't know about you, but I have miracles that I need to happen within my family. And those miracles can't hinge on a hope that just may be. I got to know. Are you hearing me? So what am I trying to say about sin? Sin will take you places you don't want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And this is how iniquity and bondages grow. Iniquity is not a word, like I mentioned, we use today, but iniquity is a form of bondage that is created from habitual sin. Now, this is the end of the message. This is where I kind of come in, and then we're going to ask God to reveal some stuff. Genesis 4:7, this is what the Bible tells us. It says, sin crouches at your door. Some translation says it hides at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must master it. I picture at my house like somebody crouching. Come on, somebody. Like sin tries, right? Crouching, just waiting for its opportunity. Did he pray today? Is he struggling today? What did he look at on that computer? Come on, somebody. What did he say? What would that gossip? Ooh, I heard that was juicy. He's talking about so and so, and then it just so happens that, are you hearing me? The devil knows your faults. The devil knows your vices, and he will do anything in his power. He'll crouch and he'll wait. Now, the Bible tells us we must master it. Now, this morning, this is the point. I bring up sin because today we have an ability sometimes to accept sin as okay. But understand this, when we fall into sin, there is a spiritual detachment. Sin separates us from God. The Bible says, no sin shall dwell in his glory. This morning, I didn't come to preach gloom and doom, but I actually have some good news. Because he says, although sin crouches at your door, you must master it. I have found that I don't need to master it under my strength. See, there is a man by the name of Jesus that came over 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross so that I can have strength and fight my temptations, so I can fight against those lustful desires, so that I can fight. And when I talk about lust, I'm not just talking about sexual. I'm talking about things that we crave. See, we got to stop trying to fight these things on our own strength, but we need to learn to depend on the Savior. How do we do that? It's not just reading your Bible. It's not just praying. It's learning to apply the things that we learn in the Bible to our everyday life, to our everyday circumstance. That's where power is revealed. That's where breakthrough happens. That's where the answers to your prayers will come from us being obedient and willing to deal with the issues within our heart that God exposes. So you don't have to live in condemnation of sin because of a man named Jesus. He died and arose from the dead. He conquered sin once and for all for you and I. Romans 6, 8, and 9. And this counters that, right? Yes, I know sin is crouching at my door. I know it desires to have me, but I have hope in Romans 8, 9. Listen to what it says. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ has raised from the dead, we cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And because I'm submitted to the will of God, because I'm submitted to what he has for my life, sin cannot have mastery over my actions. Are you hearing me? So how do we become spiritually mature? You got to set your mind on spiritual things. Listen, we got to set our mind on spiritual things. Romans 8, 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Brother Eric, you can come up. We have to learn to set our mind towards spiritual things. If you give in to negativity, that's what your actions will be. I'm not even saying give your heart to positivity. You got to be careful. Just be positive. Do you know that being positive can develop an enabling spirit within your house? Oh, I'm just being positive. Right? They're not listening to me. They're struggling. Listen, I've had multiple people live within my house. And one of the rules in my house is you don't have to be as committed as I am, and it's okay. But if you live in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you live in my house, you're coming to church. You ain't got to like it, but you live in my house. You're coming. Now, why? Am I trying to control? Absolutely not. In my house, because of what I know my frailties are, I need to be committed. And this morning, listen, this is more of a message to deal. Let God deal with you, right? We got to learn to let God deal with us. There are certain things you're going to want to hold on to that God says, I'm sorry. If you want to go further, you cannot come any further until you let that go. Because when you enter into this stage, it requires more of your sacrifice. Are you hearing me? We got to learn to let God deal with us. I'm not going to push my convictions on you, but I will say this, that God has a plan for your life. And there's a lot of gray areas. There's a lot of gray areas, man. Well, we should probably do a Hot Topics month where I preach on all the hot topics, right? Like, there's a bunch of gray areas, right? Is it okay to smoke weed? Right? Is it okay to gossip? Is it okay to fight? Right? Is it okay for me to drink? Is it okay for me to slander somebody? Is it okay for me to, like, there's a bunch of gray areas, but at the end of the day, it's between you and the Lord. And if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit will not cause you to live in contrary to what the Bible says. I'm not here to push my convictions on you. That's not it. I live a certain way because of I know who I am, and I have issues that I cannot even dabble with. And I also say, for those of you that you feel called to the ministry, you feel called to work for the Lord, I will say this. God may call you to be like a Nazirite. See, in the Old Testament, there was a Nazirite vow. And when God would call people like Samson, there was a Nazirite vow. It said, I don't even want them to touch grapes. I don't want them to touch anything that is unclean. Because it was the level of maturity that would take for him to do a great work for God. The closer you get to God, the more he'll require from you. And I will ask you this. What do you want to see in your future? God has a plan for you. But I just want to bring light to sin. Church, let's not play church anymore. Let's not play church. I don't want to bring conviction, but today what we're going to do is we're going to ask God for forgiveness. Can we do that? We're going to ask God for forgiveness, and we're going to actually remember who he is and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. This morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. How do you overcome the sinful nature? Number one, set your mind on spiritual things. Number two, you got to walk in the Spirit. And number three, you have to let God continually deal with you. So this morning, as the ushers make their way forward, we're going to ask God for forgiveness. And we're going to have a time of communion. We're not going to be very long, but we're going to remember what He did for us. And in a few moments, we're going to have you each come up and we're going to take communion. But I want to bring to your attention Romans 6, 8, and 9, where it says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over sin." And this morning, we're going to ask God for forgiveness before we take communion, because what communion is all about, it's a time of remembrance, it's a time of reflection, and it's a time where we examine our own hearts. Because Jesus didn't die for anything. Are you hearing me? Can you smile at me? Some of you are mad at me. Come on, somebody. Right? Jesus didn't die for anything. So this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm